The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Samach Beis. We began Perek HaMliches HaBayis, the beginning of which discusses somebody that sold a bayis to his friend, what is included in the sale and what is not included in the sale. So we take for granted today if somebody buys a bayis, he hires a lawyer, he has a set of legal documents that are drafted, and naturally they're very explicit, what's included and what's not included. But back in the day, apparently this wasn't necessarily so efficient. Thus, we have a whole Shulchan Aruch, a whole Perek in Shas, that discusses a Meicher Es HaBayis, what's included and what's not included. The Mishnah said, Le Macher Es HaYetziah, Machlik Es HaMeirom, exactly what that is. Le Macher Es HaChedesh HaLifnim Eimenu, that was a storage house. It could be if there were living quarters or there was a chatzar on the gag, given certain parameters, could be that wouldn't be included. Regardless, another blot Gemara that discusses this idea, this is a rather technical daf, as you can tell from all the pictures that the Rashbam and Tosfos wrote on the Yomid, as it relates to this concept. It was somebody who told his friend, so this Yid owned property. It was known as Ara de Bechia. It sounds like some legacy property. And he told his friend, I'll sell you Ara de Bechia. But how about Tarti Aris? But he had two lands, two properties that were both called Ara de Bechia. David Miskari de Bechia. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi, Paskin. Chodo Amalei Tarti Lo Yomalei. He said Ara, land, Beloshen Yochid. He didn't say Arisa, which would be in the plural Loshen Ravim. Thus, we assume he sold only one of these two properties. So we'll have to figure out which one to give him. But the point is, he's not getting both. Even though there were two properties that were called Ara de Bechia, and he said he's selling Ara de Bechia, but he said the land, he didn't say the lands. If he in fact did say the lands, Beloshin Rabim, then Stumma Miut Aris Ashtayim. Then he gets at the very least two. And if there were two, he gets both. If he would say all the lands, he would add the word kol. So he didn't just say Arisa, Loshin Rabim, but he said kol Arisa, then kol Arisa de Islay. He would get all the lands. Labar mi bustini or pardisi. Rashi says bustini is ganois, gardens. Pardisi akromen, meaning if there was land that belonged or that was referred to as the bechia that were bustini and pardisi, even if he said kol aris of the bechia, it wouldn't be included because bustini and pardisi are not usually referred to as aris. Vi amale zihara. Let's say he said not just arisa but zihara. Zihara says the Rashbam kol karkois kriyin kain. Then afilo bustini and pardisi. However, labar mi bati va'avdi. But it wouldn't include houses, even though they're properties. But it wouldn't include houses, and it wouldn't include avade, which are hukash lekarka. Vi amar if he said le to him nichsi. My nechasim, or the nechsi of the bechia, afilu bati va'avdi. Gemara begins with Reuven selling a field to Shimon. And Reuven, when he described the field that he was selling, described it based on the mitzarim, the boundaries. The way this field was set up is Reuven had one neighbor, we'll call him Reuven also, to his right, and he had two neighbors to his left, Shimon and Levi. So if you take a look at the picture, there's one side that's Aruch, the first picture on the Yomid, the other side is Kotzer. So the Tzad HaAruch, Reuven bordered, the Tzad HaKotzer, half of it was bordered by Shimon, the other half was bordered by Levi. Now Reuven tells Shimon, I'm going to sell you this field. And he says, the field that I'm selling you has Reuven to the border on one side, and it has Shimon to the border on the other side. Now from the fact that he said, only Shimon as being a neighbor on the left side, that's a raya that he didn't mean to sell him everything. Meaning he didn't mean to sell him his entire field. Because if he meant to sell him his entire field, he wouldn't have just said that Shimon is on the border on the left side. He would have said Shimon and Levi. From the fact that he only mentioned Shimon, so there's no question that there's something on Levi's side, the part where Levi is his neighbor, that he doesn't mean to sell. Where the Gemara was a little confused was, what about on Reuven's side? He said, I'm going to sell you my field that Reuven is a neighbor to on the right side. Now Reuven is a neighbor on the entire right side of the field. It's only on the left side that Shimon is a neighbor on Chatzi and Levi is a neighbor on Chatzi. So we know for sure he omitted something on the side where Shimon and Levi is, because he only mentioned Shimon. He didn't mention Levi. The question is, what about on Reuven's side? Did he mean to sell him everything? Did he not mean to sell him everything? So the Gemara says it was a machlekes amayram. Amar Rav, meitzar loy meitzar echad aruch. If Reuven, who sold the field to Shimon, described his mitzarim as being one side aruch, meaning he said that to the right side, Reuven is my neighbor across the entire field. On the other side, he didn't mention both neighbors. He only mentioned Shimon, he didn't mention Levi. Amar Rav, so Rav said, the halacha is that from the fact that he only mentioned Shimon and not Levi on the left side, he's not koina keneged Levi side. He's not koina keneged the part where Levi is his neighbor, only keneged the part where Shimon is his neighbor. And in fact, even on the right side, where Reuven is his neighbor, and he mentioned only Reuven, we don't give him that entire area, but rather we draw a line from where Shimon and Levi's properties meet, straight across the length of the entire field, and he ends up getting half of the field. Meaning, the chiddush is that even though he mentioned Reuven being his neighbor to the right, which would be mashma that he's selling him everything on that side, but what he said or what he omitted on the left side is megala what he really means to do, he ends up getting only half the field. Again, if you look at the picture, it's more expressive than 1,000 words. It's very, very clear. Says the Gemara, Amrali Rav Kana v'Rav Asi, the Ravs, Rav Kana v'Rav Asi both told Rav, Mechitesi v'yikna k'neged Rosh Tor. Why don't we instead, and take a look at the second diagram on the Amid, why don't we draw a diagonal line from where Shimon and Levi's property meet to the corner of the property so that he'll end up getting everything on Reuven's side. He won't get anything keneged Levi, but he'll get more than just half the field. And by doing this, you could be seivel everything. You give him everything on Reuven's side, which is mashma, because he didn't say, I'm only going to sell half of Reuven. He won't get anything mamish where his field meets Levi, nor should he, but at the same time, he's going to end up getting more than half the field. The Gemara says, Shasik Rav, incidentally, I am Rishonim, where the Shasik Rav over here means that Rav was Maida. Shasik Rav does not mean that Rav was Maida. Either way, says the Gemara, Maida Rav, it'd be Poshit, everybody would agree. Heicha de Ikum Meitza Reuven v'Shimon Mechad Gisa. If Reuven and Shimon both bordered this field on one side, meaning, it wasn't one person that owned everything on one side and just two people on the other side. But he had Reuven and Shimon as bordering the field that he's selling to his right. And Levi and Yehuda were the two people that bordered him on the left. And he said, if he doesn't say Reuven keneged Levi, but rather he says Reuven v'Shimon on one side and Levi on the other side, he only omits Yehuda. There it's Pasha, Shmamino keneged Reish Tor Huda Amalei. Then it's Pasha. Rav would have never even said l'katchilo that you're only going to get half the field. Meaning, to the extent that he mentioned Reuven and Shimon both being to his right, and then he mentioned Levi and not Yehuda to his left, it's partially he has to get everything on the right. You can't give him half the field. Because if he meant half the field, he would have said Reuven keneged Levi or Shimon keneged Yehuda. Why did he mention both people to his right? Meaning, in the case where one person owns everything to his right, so the reason he mentioned his name is because what else was he supposed to do? So the shaila is, maybe you should have said half of Reuven. Okay, so that already we're not going to say. But if it's two people, then you should have mentioned one and not the other. If you mention both on one side, you're zicher going to get everything on that one side. On the other side, you mention one and not the other, you can't get everything on the other side. How do you divide it? You divide it keneged roish tor zokti gemara meitza Reuven. Mizrach u'mayriv. What would be the case if Reuven bordered this field that he's looking to sell on Mizrach and Mayriv? U'meitza Shimon tzafen v'darim. And Shimon bordered him to the north and the south. Tzafen and darim. So if you're following inside, it's the fourth picture on the omid. So you see Reuven is the border to two sides. So we have it north and south. The Gemara calls it east and west. And Shimon is on the other two sides. He's north and south. The question is, if he says, I'm going to sell you the field that's between Reuven and Shimon's property, does he mean to sell the entire field? Or maybe he only gets half the field? Because if you draw a diagonal, like we have it in the picture, through the field, each half of the field, that triangle, each half of the field would be between Reuven and Shimon's property. Zokti Gemara, Tzarech Lemichtav Lei, Meitza Reuven, Ruchim Trein, Umeitza Shimon, Ruchim Trein. If you want to sell the whole field, you would have to say, I'm going to sell you the field that's between the two sides that I'm bordered with Reuven and the two sides that I'm bordered with Shimon. Otherwise, we will cut it the way it's cut in the picture, and you can end up only getting half the field, because in fact, half the field is between the Meitzer of Reuven and Shimon. What would be Sayim Lo Yasakronos Mau? What if instead of identifying the property that Reuven means to sell by telling who the neighbors are on the four sides of the field, he said who the neighbors are on the four corners of the field? So he said that this field that I'm going to sell you is a square, and the four corners of the square meet the corners of somebody else's field. Reuven on one side, Shimon on the other side, Levi on the other side, Yudah on the other side. So he didn't mention anything about who's on the side of the field. He just mentioned the corners of his field, the corners of whose field they're going to meet. And the shayla over here is, do we say that even though he didn't mention the sides of the field, he still meant to sell the sides of the field? He means to sell everything. Or perhaps no, being that he didn't say anything about the sides, he's referring to the dimensions of the field based on its corners. He doesn't mean to sell the field. What he means to sell is the chelik of the corners themselves. If you take a look at the fifth picture, you draw an X between the field, and it's that he's selling. But he doesn't perhaps get any chelik of the field itself. So the Gemara says, Mahu, or Kemin Gam, Mahu. What would be in the case of Kemin Gam? So let's see the Rashbam inside. It's easier. Ois Yevanis, the Gam was the Ois, it was a Greek letter known as Gamma. The Daim Kaf, it's a little similar to a Kaf or to a Resh. Pigon, She Meitzal Karen Dremis Mizrachis. The Karen's finest marovas. So the way he described the field to the Lekeach was, I'll sell you the field that on the Karen Dremis Mizrachis it borders Kacha, and on the Karen finest marovas it borders Azayt. And Imtze Shemetze Tchilas Kol Ruach Kazeh. Intims Lema says the Rashba. If you're going to tell me, Guy, Bissim Lays Akronis, Lekona, Elekin, Akronis, in the previous case where all you said was the corners, all you get is the corners, Hainu Mishum, it could be that's because the Hasam Lays Sayim Lays Aruchas. You didn't mention anything about the Ruchas. So if you didn't mention anything about the Ruchas, you didn't even talk about the sides of the field. Doesn't sound like you're selling the sides of the field. So all you get is Keneged Akronis. Avalhacha, over here, Shemetzer Tchilas Kol Aruchas, over here where you did mention the sides of the field, could be Kamisha Metzer Eskulandami. Maybe it's as if you would have listed the entire side of the field, you're going to get everything. As long as you mention some of the sides, you get all of the sides. V'kona ha'koil, I don't know, like kona l'balachsan kazeh, or maybe you have to look at the last picture on the Amud, and you're going to get it again balachsan. Maybe that's all you're going to get. Either way, says the Gemara, k'min gam mahu. Last case, b'sei rugin mahu. Again, let's see the Rashbam inside. So Reuven on the field, he wants to sell it to Shimon, and he has not four neighbors, he has eight neighbors. Shnayim l'chol ruach, and he has two neighbors on each side. Reuven v'Shimon min ha-Mizrach, Levi v'Yehuda min ha-Tzofen, Yisachar v'Zvula min ha-Mayriv, Yosef v'Binyamin min ha-Dor. The Kosav, Reuven, made some Mizrach, and when he sat down and wrote the contract, he mentioned one of the two neighbors on each side. So he mentioned Reuven as being his neighbor to the east, Levi made a tzof and Levi to the north. Yisachar made a mairev to the west. Yosef made a darm to the south. Imtim Suleima says the Gemara, Kimin Gam Loikono. If you're going to tell me Kimin Gam, you're not going to Elab Alachsoin, only the Alachsoin, but you don't get the whole field. Hainu Mishum, you could argue that's because the Derech Limkar Telem Echab in Beis Adas, because it makes a little bit of sense. Sometimes people would sell one Telem within a field. Aval Ein Derech Limkar Besei Rugin, but to tell me that you're selling it Reuven's and then Levi's and then Yisachar's and Yosef's. Look at the picture. It would seem very, very bizarre. So v'raglayim ledavar, it makes more sense. The more reasonable of the two possibilities are, the tirchay le'lichtav kulam, it was just a big tircha for him to write everything. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the dog of b'sei Rugin, liten meitza b'chol dal ruches, to mention one of the neighbors on each one of the four sides. Perhaps not, and maybe you're going to get some funny arrangement, but the bottom line is, says the Gemara, so what's the halacha in these cases? Whether he was sayim lo yasakronis, he only mentioned the neighbors on the corners, by the pintalach, but he didn't mention neighbors on the sides, or it was kamin gam, like the Greek letter gamma. What did he mean to sell him? Or b'sei rugin, what did he mean? Zach the Gemara regarding all three of these shailas. Teiku. Another case. Meitza loy meitza rishon, umeitza sheni, umeitza shlishi. So Reuven again is selling a field to Shimon. And he lists the dimensions of the field. He says that the field begins here, it ends there. And the way he lists it is by saying who the neighbor was on one side, second side, third side, but he didn't list a neighbor on the fourth side. So Rav said as follows. You can't give him everything. You can't say that the Meicher meant to sell the entire field. Because if he meant to sell the entire field, he would have listed the fourth neighbor. And from the fact that he didn't list the fourth neighbor, you have to say that he's coming to omit something. What is he omitting? Chutz mi meitzer vi. What we don't give him is the meitzer vi. Zakter Ashbam in a veinig. It's the second line after the picture. Hatelem atzma shal meitzer vi. That tell him where the meitzer vi would have been. Loikana. That he doesn't get. De lahachi ahani maid loikasa meitzer vi. Because again, you have to say that he's omitting something. If he wasn't looking to omit something, then he would have mentioned the meitzer vi. So something we need to deduct. What we're going to deduct is the Meitzer V. That's what we're going to deduct. So that tell him where the Meitzer would have been, that's not included. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Afilu Meitzer V. No, we give him everything. Rav Asi, Rav Asi is a third shita. Loikone ele tell him echad apnei kula. Rav Asi says all he gets is one tell him, one row across the entire field. Rashbam says, not the entire field, because you're not getting anything on the fourth Meitzer where you didn't even list the Meitzer. The three mitzarim that you did list, you're going to get one talent. What you're going to get is kemin ches. So we have three shitas. Rav said, kona ha-koil, you get everything except for the talent where the fourth mitzah would have been. Shmuel says you get everything, literally everything, as if you would have written the fourth mitzah. Rav Asi said, all you get is one telem, like a ches, along the three mitzarim. So, Gemara, what's pshat Rav Asi? He held like Rav, the Amashire Shire, that you have to say that he meant to omit something, otherwise he would have listed the fourth mitzah. Omit the Shire b'mitzah, but he takes it a step further. Once we say that it was Meshire, the mitzah, Shire nami b'kuli, we assume that he was Meshire something in the entire field, so much so that all he gets is one telem. So Rava said, Hilchas akana akol, chutz mi meitzer vi. The halach is that he gets everything with the exception of the meitzer vi. At first glance, it sounds like he's saying shitas Rav. So why didn't Rava just say that halach is like Rav? Rav was an early Amayra, Rava was a later Amayra. Why didn't he just say that the halach is like Rav? Because as we'll see in a moment, there are many caveats to a lot of fine print to what Rava just said. But Rava said, big picture, the halach is like Rav. Kana akol. In this case, where you listed three mitzvahs and not the fourth, you get everything except for the Meitzer Revi. But says Rava, this is only true, Eldalai Mivla. That's only true if the fourth Meitzer was not within the three mitzvahs. Take a look at the next picture on the Amid, the one on the right. That would be Muvla. The one on the left would be Loy Muvla. So says Rava, the only time it's true that you don't get the Meitzer Revi is if it's like the picture on the left, where that one telem that we want to omit is not within the borders of the three klah. Ava Mivla, but if it is included like in the picture on the right, then the halacha is kana. You're going to get it. Because since it's inside the mitzvah that you mentioned, you can't not give it to him. So he's going to end up getting everything. Additionally, said Rava, v'chiloi Mivla nami, you have to hold cup here, even when it's not Mivla, the only time you don't get it is le'yamar el dikolei richba didikva. If there are trees there on that telem, or the habitishas kabin, or at least the area is big enough where you can plant 9 kabin worth of zer. Ava lekolei richba didikva le'yabitish. But if it doesn't have one of those two things, kana, halach is it going to be kind? So says Rava, two criteria for when you don't get that meitzer revi, when you mention the three mitzarim and not the fourth. In other words, two criteria for when Shita's Rav is true. Number one, it has to be not muvla. If it's muvla, you're getting it. Additionally, even when it's not muvla, the only time you don't get it is if it's chashuv. There's a richba de dikla, or there's tishas kab. Big enough at 9 count. Otherwise, you're going to get it. Zokta Gemara, back of the envelope diak, mechalal. From the way Rava just explained it, it's mashma. Dechi muvla, let's say it would be muvla. Afagav te ikole richpa de dikla vatishas kabin. Even if it is a makum chashev, such as there is a richpa de dikla, or there are 9 kabin. Da locha is kana. You are going to get it. Meaning, Rava said the only time you don't get it is if it's A, loy muvla, and B, it's chashev. It's mashma. That if it would be muvla, even if it's chashev, you would get. You could amri. Some say, "Oh my Rava." Rava said, "Hilchas akana akoyel." Rava didn't paskin at first glance like Rav, but to the contrary, he paskin first glance like Shmuel. Hilchas akana akoyel. Va'afilu meitzarvi, even get the fourth meitzar. V'loya maron. However, the caveat was, ela de mivla. The only time it's true is mivla. He's really saying the same thing, Rob. The only time it's true is if it's mivla. If it's mivla, then that loch is like Shmuel, you get everything. Avaloy mivla, but if it's not, loikani. And here he added, v'chi mivla nami, even when it's mivla. Loya maron, the only time you get is, al delech ala rich b'dedikla avatishas kap. If it's not choshev, meaning you don't have this rich b'dedikla, or it's not big enough in line kap. Avalik ala rich b'dedikla avatishas kabin. You're not going to get it. And this is where the second Lishna of Rava is different than the first Lishna of Rava. Michlal, meaning, Rava is saying now that the only time where it's Mivla, that Loch is Ka'ana, is if it's not a Shir Chashav. What you see from there then is when we say Loi Mivla, you don't get it, it's Afa Gafta Lekala Rich, but even if it's not Chashav, you're not going to get it. So we had two Lishinas of Rava that were very similar. One Lashon, he seemed to paskin initially like Rav. In the second Lashon, he seemed to paskin initially like Shmuel. But he quickly added caveats that made it obvious that it wasn't so simple. Is it Muvla? Is it not Muvla? Is there a Rich B'dedikvla? Is it big enough to plant 9 Kabin or not? So the Gemara summarizes it for us very nicely. Shamina Mitzravayu Lashoni Rav. From the two Lashonis of Rava, there are two things that are clear. Number one, the Besod Alei Shaiv Lamin, that he doesn't like Rav Ask. The Shaiv is Rav or Shmuel. Do you get the Meitzer V? Do you not get the Meitzer V? But that you should lose out more than the Meitzer V in the field itself, you shouldn't get. Remember, Rav Asi was the one that said you only get Kemin Ches, that you're Meshayer in the Sada itself. Rav certainly holds that did the Sada Leishayev Lemin. You don't lose anything. Vishamina Nami, another thing you see clearly from Rav, is the Hecha de Mivla Velekel Rich B'dedikla. If it would be Mivla and there'd be no Rich B'dedikla, or Velehav Tishas Kabin, and there's no Tishas Kabin, Kan it, you'd say again. Rav said Mivla Kan. The question was, is it true even if it's a sheer chashuv, like Rich B'dedikvah or Tishas Kabin or not? So if it's not chashuv, then certainly you're going to get it. Additionally, loy mivla, if it's not mivla, v'ikol Rich B'dedikvah or Tishas Kabin, loikon. If it's not mivla and it is chashuv, you're certainly not going to get it. Because again, Rav said where it's loy mivla, you're not going to get it. The confusion was, is it true even where there's no Rich B'dedikvah or Tishas Kabin, or only if there's a Rich B'dedikvah Tishas Kabin. But if it's not Mivla, and there is a Rich B'dedikvah or Tes Kabin, it's Pasha, you're not going to get. What's the Shaila? Mivla, where it's Mivla. V'ikolea, but there's a Shir Chashuv. So you have a Mailand, there's a Chesarin. On the one hand, it's Mivla, it's part of the field. But then again, it's also a Shir Chashuv. Or Loi Mivla V'leka. Again, Loi Mivla is Mashma, that it shouldn't be included. But then again, it's not such a Shir Chashuv. Itmalala Haigisa, the Itmalala Haigisa, those were the two Lishoinois in Rava. And what's the Halacha Shuda the Daini? And there's an important Taisvis over here as it relates to Maman Amutal Basafik and Bezrat Hashem. We will hopefully get into some raid regarding Shuda the Daini. And this Taisvis over here, tucked away in the beginning of Perak Amechas Abayis, Daf Samech Beis, Amud Beis.
The following raid bite is being added to the Daf.
We had not once, not twice, but three times in the last several dafin, in Perek Merubah, where the Gemara brought something that the Amora Rav said, Rav Sheshes heard what Rav said, and he responded, quote, Amina kinayim v'shachiv Rav amal ha-milsa. Rav must have said this while he was sleeping, because there's no way in the world that if Rav was fully conscious, he would have said this chiddush. The first was a halacha way back in Perek Shosh and Nogach HaSapara. The case is where somebody went Shaloi Bershus and he brought his Peres into his friend's field. The halacha is if his friend's Shar would get damaged by the Peres that this Yid brought in Shaloi Bershus, the Bala Peres would be Chayef. Makes a lot of sense. And Rav said regarding that, Loi Shonu Elo Shehuchlik Obehem. That's only going to be true if the Behema slipped on the Peres. Aval Achlo, but if the animal would have eaten the peiris, and then it would have gotten damaged. You would have been potter. What's the reason? Nobody asked you to eat. Meaning, why did the behem eat? Just because I brought my peiris meant the behem had if it tripped over in Peseda. But to eat, and where Rav Sheshes heard this, he said, this was Bavakamim Emzayin Amid Beis. The second time we had it recently was in Perek Meruba, Daf Samachem Amid Aleph, Amar Rav, Keren Ke'in Sheganav, Tashlume Kevav, Tashlume Abav V'chamisha, Kishas Hamad B'deh. Then when it comes to assessing the value of Keren and Kevav and Dal Ve'e with regards to a Ganav, so we always assess the value of the Keren Ke'in Sheganav, assuming there was a fluctuation, but Kevav Dal Ve'e, that's
And again, Rav Sheisha said, "Kinayim v'shachar Rav amal ha'shmaita." And finally, we head on Daf Samach Zayin on the days where Rav said that this that the Mishnah says, "Ein agoyin v'achar ganiv mishalom tashlum kefil." That's only true lifnei yiyush. Aval achar yiyush, the ganiv sheni would have to pay kefil to the ganiv rishon. This is Rav Shita of yiyush koina and some dritten mol. Amar Rav Sheisha, "Amir kinayim v'shachar Rav amal ha'shmaita." And the question is, how could Rav Sheisha talk this way about Rav? Rav was Rabin shel kol b'nei hagoyin. He was the Gadol Hadoiros. So how could Rav Sheisha say that this halacha is so not oiskehalten? Rav must have said this while he was sleeping. Ubefrat, Rav Sheisha was a Talmud Muvik of Rav. So Rav Sheisha as a Talmud Muvik of the Gadol Hador, seems very inappropriate to talk this way. It's impossible to learn this Gemara without squirming a little bit. And the question is, Poshim Shad, how's it Shaykh that Rav Sheisha would have said something like this? It's Yodua that Chafetz Chaim, in the back of his Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he brings a few tshuvas that were written by Kadmoinim that discuss different gemaras that you find where at first glance it seems there were Tanoim or Amoiron that were nichshol in the Inyan of Shmiras Aloshim. He brings a tshuva from the Marik. One of the tshuvas that he brings is from the Chavis Yar. It's in Shailas Tshuvas Chavis Yar. It's a Simin Kufnun Beis, and the Chafetz Chaim brings the Ganser tshuva. In that tshuva, the Chavis Yar asks this kasha. He says, how is it possible Rav Sheshes would have spoken this way about Rav? It says, the Chavis Yar, that the emes is, if you think about it, I don't think it's so shver. In fact, not only is it not so shver, I think that Rav Sheshes was praising Rav. He was saying something very nice, v'tovei olav bracha. What he was saying was that Rav never got it wrong. And because Rav never got it wrong, it's not possible that if Rav was awake, he would have said this. Bal korcha, he must have said this while he was sleeping. Meaning, your knee-jerk reaction is, right, if someone would tell it to you, you probably wouldn't be so happy. You would think he's being over in Hilchis Shmiras Aloshin. But there's another way to look at it. You could look at the glass half full. Fakar. What he was trying to say was, is that Rav was so oiske cheshbin, that everything he said was so meduktik, that must be kinayim v'shachim Rav. He must have said this when he wasn't fully awake. Because if he was fully awake, then it's not possible that he would have said it. But I'll tell you a Dovah Chodesh that I found. And that is, in the Sefer Imre Bina. So the Imre Bina was one of the Toishvei Yerushalayim in the 19th century, circa Reb Shmuel Misalant, Reb Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, even from the earlier ones. His name was Rameir Arbach. He was a Goyen Oilam, Beniglo Ubenista. He wrote several Sforim. His magnum opus is the Sefer Imre Bina, which was recently reprinted in Tavshin Pei Gimel by Mechoy Mishas Rabarim. Smedrish Kavaya reprinted his farm. In the Akdama to Sefer Imre Bina, he talks about this inyan, and he says a dover niflum, but it requires a tiny bit of an introduction. And that is, we know that Torah can be understood al pi nigla, al pi pshat. It could also be understood al pi soy. Not just that, there's a mesoira amongst the mikubalim that even Talmud Bavli could be understood al pi nigla, but it could also be understood al pi soid, al pi pnimius. In fact, Rav Chaim Vital said over that his Rebbe, the Arizal, when he would learn a Gemara, he would have 7 pshatim in every Gemara. 6 pshatim al pi nigla, keneged the 6 weekdays, and 1 pshat al pi nister, keneged Shabbos. So every single Gemara that Rav Chaim Vital was made, the Arizal used to learn al pi nigla, and he used to learn al pi nister. So you do in the Svarim HaKadoshim that in order for a person to properly be Masik Teres Asai, sometimes it's not possible for a person to do while he's awake. He has to be sleeping. And really, the Marim Mokim for this Inyan is Reb Chaim Volozhin's Hakdama to the Vilna Gaon's Pirish on the Sifra Ditznayusa. So it's Yudua that the Vilna Gaon wrote a Pirish on Sifra Ditznayusa, very, very much Kabbalah, and Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote Akdom, and a lot of what we know about Reb Chaim Volozhin comes from that Akdom. So just to read a few excerpts to get a little bit of a good feel. Reb Chaim Volozhin writing B'Ksav Yad Kotshei, he says, quote, "Ki shamati mipiv HaKotesh, shepomim rabbis eshkimu lepischei kama magidim in HaShamayim, b'sheilosom ubakashosom, sheroitzim limso leirozim deiraisa b'loi shomamo." He said, "I heard from the Vilna Gaon's mouth that many times there were malachim and magidim that came to the Vilna Gaon and they wanted to teach him Torah. They wanted to be megalatim, rosei, v'soydus ha-Torah." Just like the Beis Yosef had a magid that taught him Torah. So the Gaon said that many times he had opportunities for this. And the Goyen said, but he never listened to them. He said, one of the Magidim was pushing him very, very much. He wouldn't look at him. That I'm willing to take. But anything that it doesn't come direct from the Eivishter and it's not related to my own Yigiyah, my own Amelus, I'm not interested in learning any Torah from a Magid. Then Reb Chaim Voloshin continued, he said, Ubididi hava uvda. I'll tell you a story that happened with me, that the Goyim once made me a shliach to go to my younger brother. So Reb Chaim Voloshin, his younger brother, was Reb Shlomo Zalman Voloshin, Reb Zomel Voloshin, who Kiyadua and Yeshiva Lore was bigger than Reb Chaim Voloshin. And he said, did Reb Chaim Voloshin, that the Goyim sent me as a shliach, and he told me to tell my brother that I see that you're on fast track and you're on a madrega, where before long Magidim and Malachim are going to be coming to you too, and they're going to want to teach you Torah, and I'm letting you now refuse. Don't be mekabel. That's the Messiah that I'm giving you. That it's not something that you should do. He continues. He says, "Ugedoyim izuhu ayah oimer." He used to say, "Ki af masha haneshama maseges hasogos neflois v'nairois b'shino." He says, even though the Yid, when he goes to sleep, he can be masik certain things that are mamish not chayich in the world, but einoy nechshav etzloi kol kach leikur gadol. The guy said that he was zoicha to that, but it wasn't such an ikur gadol. V'ha ikur masha adam masik bezeh ha'olam, ayidei amal v'yagiyah. But the Goyen said, this is what a person gets while he's sleeping that comes without yegia and without bechira and without rotza, and it just is given to the person. All it is a reward. The Eibishter wants to give the tzaddik on this world a me'ein olam haba. Shina's 1/60th of that. So he's zoicha to a me'ein olam haba, and that's that inyan. But don't think that that Torah is as chashid as the Torah that a person harvests on. This was the sheet of the guy. Besides, I've learned with a magid, but this was the sheet of Sagura, the beis medrash of the Vilna Goyim. This is what it held. Then he goes and he tells a story. It's good I to mention it. I'll tell you one mice that happened with the Vilna Goyim while he was sleeping. Shapam echa b'yoyim echa chol Pesach. It was the first day of Pesach. The Goyim was sitting together with two of his chashuv Talmidim. Now, the Talmidim observed that the Vilna Goyim didn't look so happy. And he writes, that's Reb Chaim Voloshin, that it's Yodua, that the Vilna Goyim was very, very besimcha. And Yontif, it's brought down in the Maaseh Rab. When was he most besimcha? Shmini Atzeres, Vatischak B'Yoyim Achre. But the Goyim was always very, very besimcha. And now he wasn't so besimcha. And something was a little bit off. So they asked the Goyim what happened. The hivtzer by ma'od, he refused to respond, and they pushed him, and finally lo yochel l'sapek. Listen to this line. Omar, he said, "Muchrechani legalis lochem, ma she'in darki me'olam bazeh." I'm going to tell you something that really I would never say. Lekayim ma she'amru chazal daiga b'leiv ish yisichen olacherim. The Goyim saw it as a din. That if a person has a daiga b'levish and the guy was struggling to get rid of this daiga, you see chen alachayim, you talk about it, you sit down with a friend, someone you trust, and you tell him a little bit about it. So the Goyin, from a brisker perspective, said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, even though it's in darki, and this is really something I would never ever be megala to anybody. But it's a chazal. I have a daiga b'levish, you see chen, a chazal say, yasi chen alachayim. Either way, so he told him like this. He said, last night when I was sleeping, Eliyahu Novi came to me, and he told me unbelievable giluyin, the shame yud beis, related to the shame yud beis. It's one of the shemes hakodesh made up of 12 oisias. Ala pasik aluze banegev. That's the pasik. I woke up in the morning. Roiv haflogeis hasimcha. I was so besimcha, I couldn't control myself. I thought about that Torah before I made Birchas HaTorah. And I was punished. I forgot it immediately, and I don't have it anymore. So they bring here in the parentheses, and this is an obvious susha, that this is the Goyim L'shitasa. Because we know the Mechaber says, but the Vilna Goyim is chay, like he says, it says, meaning even if here is Lav Kedibur Dami, but the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is even for thinking in Torah. So if that's the case of Adar, so he said he thought in learning before making Birchasat Torah, so he violated this halacha. So as a result, he forgot his Torah. The Nichamu and the Talmidim were Menachem de Gra, Ubarchuloi, and they gave him a bracha. They said, Hashem Yisbarach Yachsel Rabbeinu as Avedasai. The Achizman, Shalu Echamehem Imkvar Huchsule Avedasai. The Heshev, and he told him, Baruch Hashem, Sheneskalu Lishenes. Yes, your bracha was Mekuyim, Yashakoyach. I got back the Torah. The Hemachof Beis Meyos, Vesamach Eifanim. It's 2,260 different pshatim in the Shem Yud Beis, in the Pasuk, Aluz Zebanegev. Either way, he goes right there and he says that he saw in the Ksofim, Chaim V'loshen are talking, of his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, where he wrote that this pshat I heard from Eliyahu HaNavi, this pshat I heard from Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, and that the Vilna Gaon had tremendous giluyim, even though he tried fighting it, and he knew it wasn't the Iker, and befrat when he went to sleep, 2,260 pshatim in the Shem Yud Beis of Aloz and Vanega. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? Said the Imre Bino, he didn't shtel to the Gaon, but an obvious sushtel. You see from here that Torah could be understood, Sayal P. Nigla, and Sayal P. Nister, and even Sugis Hashas. Like the Arizal, he had 6 mahalchim alpin nigla, and he had 1 mahalch alpin nister. But the ikar asogas of nister come when? They come when a person is sleeping. So said the Imre Bino, it's yodua that the Ramam Mipano said that every time you find in Shas that Rav said a halacha, and the Olam asked the kasha to Rav, and Shosik Rav didn't answer. What does Shosik Rav mean? It means that Rav had what to answer, alpin nister. He just didn't have what to say, alpin nigla. And he didn't want to tell the Olam. There was an emes to what he was saying. Oh, but the emes wasn't pimius atayra. It was in the one pshat that's alpin Shabbos Kodesh, not the sheshes yimei achol. And that's why he didn't say what he said. And the Ramami Pano said that Rab Abba, who's mentioned throughout the Zohar HaKodesh as the Talmud, Muvagarub Shem Bayichoy, is really the Amayor Rab. So said Imre Bina in the Hakdomatis and Magnum Opus, he said, that's the pshat. He said, Rav Sheshes heard the Rebbe Rab say a pshat. And he couldn't understand it. It had no avana. So he understood that it must be, this is one of those Shosik Ravs. This must be one of those Torahs that you find throughout Shas, where Rav said something which alpin nigla really didn't have any avana. Of alpin nister he had avon. If this is something that Rav is saying alpin nister, and it must be azan nister that even we can't be masik. Amino kinayim v'shachiv Rav amal amil. So this must be Torah that Rav was oichet to while he was sleeping. Torah that was given to him 2,220 in Aluza Banegev. This is from the Shosif Rav the Gedinim. This is from the Seidus Atayra. That is the oimek in Amino kinayim v'shachiv Rav amal amil.